Thank you very much, and good afternoon, everybody, and thanks for allowing me to give this talk in this session. I have to say first that this talk was given by Jennifer Moore-Cusera from Texas Tech University at the meeting in the summer in Lombard, Illinois, of the Soil and Water Conservation Society, and she has been the leader of this huge research effort that I'm very proud to be part of and work with them. With my colleagues from Texas Tech University. This is part of an AFRI grant that was initiated in 2012, and it will end in 2016. And we have this, in this case, and we have three graduate students part of this program. I think we have here Dr. Lisa Foltz that graduated in the summer and now is part of Louisiana State University faculty. And we have a group of collaborators like Francisco Calderon that is also here from ARS in Akron, Colorado, helping us with the assessment of soil organic matter, chemical composition characterization with the FTIR technique, and other colleagues that are part of Texas Tech University with collaborating with us with their expertise in pedology, soil microbial ecology, in fungi assessments, and characterization, and on the carbon isotopes component of this project. And the CRP enrollment in 2012 for the nation has been very, very significant. We have a significant amount of land under this program. And as you can see on the north and going south, central part of the nation, we have a total of 11 million hectares under this program. And Texas leads the nation in the CRP land enrolled. And our research covers seven counties with 249,000 hectares under this program. And as we know, in Texas, we are having a lot of soil conservation issues due to the very high erodibility index for these soils. More than 80 tons of soil are lost per acre per year, coarse texture of sandy soils, and soils with, I think, even less than 1% of organic matter content. And we have a semi-arid climate and climate change challenges, so we face high winds and more frequent and frequent intense droughts. As we know that this program was initiated in 1985 to put out land out of production and put it into grasslands, mainly to reduce soil erosion. However, then gradually we have been able to learn more on other benefits from this program in terms of soil quality improvements. But we need more research to have a better understanding of the changes in soil quality addressed with this program under different climatic zones and the new challenges that we're having, especially in Texas. Little is known about this program and the benefits in soil quality. So our first objective for this research is to evaluate the soil quality changes over years under this CRP program. So we have several fields under annual row crops. We consider that then 0 years of enrollment, and then we have several fields under the CRP that goes from 6 years to 26 years under this program. And then we have fields under the native rangeland land use, which we consider then that point that we could use for comparisons with the changes in soil quality that we could see on CRP over the years and see if certain properties reach the properties that we see, the status of properties in the native rangeland. So this way we're looking at an increasing time under grazing restoration, and we appreciate the assistance from many NRCS agents allowing us to, helping us to find these representative sites. These are Amarillo fine sandy loams, so soils with so low organic matter content and high pH. And the question is, what happens when the CRP contracts expire? And many of these potential benefits in soil quality may be reversed. So our second objective for this program is to evaluate the short-term changes in soil quality. Today I will focus on microbial communities after the CRP conversion. So for that, we have identified CRP sites, more than 20 years of enrollment, and always nearby we have found a site that was converted to cropland. And they were, this was done in 2012, so we have been able to do these comparisons of these two systems at three soil depths, 0 to 10, 10 to 30, and 30 to 50 centimeters, since the first year of the conversion and the second year for this talk today. And we continue our assessment of the changes in soil properties. I will discuss the different soil quality and ecosystem functions that we're looking at for these two objectives. Like some of the ecosystem functions that we're looking at is in terms of biodiversity changes with this program, looking at microbial community size, structure, and diversity. So we're using different techniques, conventional techniques like microbial biomass carbon, FAME analysis, which in my lab has been improved over the years, and we have more signatures of different microbial groups, and we can explore better the communities. And we also are doing DNA sequencing. We're looking at the functions of the regulation of climate from the point of view of looking at organic matter dynamics, at carbon sequestration, and greenhouse gas emissions. So we're doing field work, CO2 flux measurements. We're also looking at total organic carbon, total inorganic carbon, carbon 13 and carbon 12 ratios, POM. And we're also then doing the organic matter chemical composition characterization, looking at different functional groups changes with the FTR technique. We're also looking at the soil stability status from the point of view of changes on soil compaction, aggregate fractionations, aggregate distribution. And we're using some of the signatures from the FAME profiles, like some for Arbuscula mycorrhiza fungal populations. We're also doing bulk density measurements and soil changes in soil moisture. And we're also looking at a plant growth environment using biochemical cycling, potential assessments, pH, and nutrient transformation. So in that, we're using enzyme activity assays and analysis of nutrient content. When we look at microbial biomass carbon, after the first year of the conversion to CRP, from CRP to cropland, what we could see is that there was already an increase on the microbial biomass carbon in the converted CRP site with respect to the CRP, which is giving an indication of resources incorporation. And then, although we didn't see differences on the 2013, on the second year of sampling between the CRP and the converted site, what we could see is that that converted site, from that first year increase in microbial biomass carbon, is showing a 35% decrease on microbial biomass carbon, which is an indication of then that fast resource incorporation being possibly depleted by 2 years already. So in order to gain more insights into these and the activities of the microbes, we calculated the metabolic quotient, which is the calculation of the CO2 released per unit of biomass, in order to have information on what microbes, how active they were, and what they were using their resources. And that first year, then we will see that even though the converted site will have greater microbial biomass, they will not show differences in that converted site with respect to the CRP site. But if you look at the second year in 2013, there was then an increase in the metabolic quotient on the converted site with respect to that site the first year. So what this is telling us, and we know that microbial biomass was lower, so this is telling us that the microorganisms are using their energy for maintenance and not for growth and production. And these are signs of a community being stressed. In order to have more information of what were the resources that they were using and how organic matter will be changing, we're looking at different enzyme activities involving biochemical cycling. That first one, beta-glucosidase activity, is involved in cellulose degradation and is part of an integral part of carbon cycling. That first year, we will see that there was no significant differences on the converted site versus the CRP. But then by the second year already, there was a decrease in the activity of this enzyme in the converted CRP side, which is showing how in 2 years there is that significant already decrease in resources incorporation and plant and exudates and root exudates availability and substrates for the microbial communities. Other enzymes like this one involved in chitin degradation in more complex carbon and nitrogen sources in soils is the release of amino sugars from chitin, is involved in carbon and nitrogen cycling, hasn't showed in 2 years differences or change in the converted CRP site with respect to the CRP. So this is showing us that different substrates are being used and depleted at different times. But we wanted to show how when you convert to the crop production, there is apparently a redistribution of nutrients and substrates at the 10 to 30 centimeter depth compared to the 0 to 10 centimeter depth. So we're showing similar levels of activities of the enzymes at both top soil depths. And that means that this is all how this disturbance is occurring and how fast it is within the first 2 years. Another enzyme that is involved in nitrogen cycling that we're evaluating is asparaginase activity, and we evaluate several of these ones that are involved in the release of nitrogen sources, plant-available nitrogen sources from amino acids. And what we will see is that since the first year, this enzyme activity was reduced, and we have an average there for both years. So since that first year conversion from CRP, there was 33% lower activity in this enzyme activity. And what this is showing us is that there are certain substrates, like this ones, that are more simple and that are being used faster and not returned with a change in management. So, and I also wanted to show how we see the redistribution that occurs with the conversion, redistribution of nutrients. Also, phosphorocycline enzyme activities were affected since the first year of this conversion, and one of them was reduced 46% in the converted CRP sites with respect to the CRP sites. And I also wanted to show that redistribution occurring in the 10 to 30 centimeter depth. These changes that are occurring in the composition processes are tied to changes and shifts in the microbial community. As we can see here, this is a simple PCA that has together different years and the different depths that were sampled, and it's amazing to see then that both the distinction that we can see on the converted CRP microbial communities with respect to the CRP size. So this is showing us that the microbial communities were altered since the first year following the conversion towards lower Ruscula mycorrhiza fungal populations. And as we know how important mycorrhiza are for soils and soil plant symbiotic associations with fungi and the better uptake of water and nutrients, it's of concern that these changes are occurring this fast. So with the conversion, we also have communities that have more gram-positive bacteria. And I wanted just to show also that these are preliminary results that we have, but we're looking at the DNA sequences and to the level of the bacterial species to identify the species that will be then associated with the CRP conversion versus the CRP. And what we see is on the red, we have the CRP, and the two soil depths there, and since the first year, we also have already different bacterial species associated to the converted sites with respect to the CRP. And we also can see that on the second year with this conversion and becoming better, that separation on the microbial communities, and especially here looking at bacterial species. So there are short-term changes happening in the bacterial also composition after conversion of CRP to cropland. And this is another study, and I just wanted to bring this also because we still find separation of the microbial communities of a converted CRP site after 2 years. If we compare the communities with six other producer sites that I work with that are on the long-term cotton production. So what I just wanted to point out here is that we can still see on the converted side that it's still showing differentiation, a different microbial community composition, and it's mainly driven by having greater arbuscular mycorrhiza fungal populations with respect to the other sites and soils that continue on their long-term cotton production. So what this is showing us is that we hope that over the years that we continue sampling these same sites, we don't see these sites going and getting again together to the other sites as they now start producing cotton and changing it to cropland. So it matters what we do. However, in this region, having a semi-arid climate, having the climate change challenges, it may be very hard to possibly select and use cover crops. And we have to then maybe use other approaches, possibly tilling less the soil, using more conservative tillage practices could be the options that we have to convert it to continue having, maintain these benefits that we had with the CRP program. So we're seeing early signs of impacts, negative impacts to ecosystem functioning with CRP conversion, which is challenging our conservation efforts. After having a CRP for more than 20 years, within 1 and 2 years, we saw decreases in arbuscular mycorrhiza fungal populations and the associated functions that they bring. We have seen a more stressed community, higher metabolic quotient. We have seen reductions in enzyme activities, and depending on the enzyme and the biochemical cycling reactions that they participate, it can take different years for this. We have seen also a redistribution of organic carbon microbial biomass and the enzyme activity at the lower soil depth relative to 0 to 10 centimeters. So we continue our assessments for different other soil properties and changes like organic matter, chemical composition that we didn't discuss, that we will continue evaluating. But we hope it doesn't happen that these also resources are continue to be depleted, and what we do matters in the management to conserve the benefits that we have had with CRP. Thank you so much. And questions also can go to Jennifer. Thank you.
Is there a question for Veronica?
Repeat the question, in case I cannot.
The CRP producer sites?
Yeah, to the ones that were long. Can you just explain the axes on that?
This is a PCA, and in that case, then these differences that I'm explaining on the communities are dependent on the, if you look at the first axis that explain most of the variability versus that the second axis explain less of the variability. And this is a PCA that generally then with the vectors that we have, then we can provide information on different microbial groups. And in this case, then we can see that the converted CRP site is significantly separated from the other, the communities of the other producer sites. And this data hasn't been published yet, and none of the data here that maybe then some of the work that I do, and Jennifer Morcusera also uses a lot of PCAs and different types of multivariate approaches like this that I could refer you to check.
Okay.
Thank you, Veronica.
For later,
so, yeah, you could continue the discussion
later.